Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, the subject for our time together today is fact, faith, and experience. And so this morning we heard a wonderful word about all of the facts that are contained within the Bible. But we need to see that in the Word, all of the divine truths that are contained therein, there's something called the two-sidedness of the divine revelation. Amen. Which means that although the Bible is full of lots of objective facts, objective truths, things of reality, some of which we covered this morning, there's also the matter of our subjective experience of those objective realities. And God's intention for each one of us is not merely that we would have some knowledge, not merely that we would know some doctrine, not merely that we would have the objective truths in our mind, but even more so that these objective truths would become our subjective experience. So there's a relationship between fact, faith, and experience. Amen. And the facts, you could say, are the objective truths in the Bible. And then the experience at the end is our subjective experience of those facts. Faith is the linking factor between the two. It is faith that allows us to appropriate and experience all the wonderful facts that are contained within the Bible. So this is the second message. It's on faith. And there are three main Roman numerals for this message. The first is what it is. The second is where it comes from. And the third is what it does. So may the Lord increase our faith more and more so we can have more and more experiences of our wonderful Lord.
Amen.
So let's read point A under Roman numeral 1 together. We'll see what faith is. Let's read this together. Ready, go. Now faith is the substantiation of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith convinces us. It's the proof that we have. It's an assurance that we have of the things hoped for and the things not seen. So all of the truths that our brother was sharing with us this morning, you know, about how we've been redeemed, we've been reconciled, we've been saved, we've been justified. These are all objective facts in the Bible, things that God Himself has done that we enjoy the benefit of, but we had no part in carrying those things out. But how do we know, right? How do we know we are saved? Right. How do we know we've been reconciled to God? That means that we're at peace with Him. There's no more enmity between us and Him. Well, all of these things, it is faith, our faith, that substantiates these things. It convinces us of these things. It is the solid foundation for our belief in these things. And point B here says that it's a cashing in. So another way to see the relationship between fact, faith, and experience, you can think of it this way. There's an illustration that says, all right, Caleb, you have $1 trillion in the bank. You're a trillionaire. All right, you're exceedingly rich. If you looked at your bank account right now, trillionaire, okay? Let's say that's the objective fact. That's the reality of Caleb's situation. If he has the faith, then he would write some checks. All right, the faith is to appropriate and experience the objective truths, the objective realities. If you didn't have the faith that the objective truth was that you're a trillionaire, you wouldn't write any checks. But if you knew the truth, if you knew the reality, the objective facts, you'd be writing a lot of checks, right? So writing the check is your faith, right? It's to appropriate the objective fact. And then the result of that is you have an experience. And the experience is you get a new car or a new house or whatever the case might be. Right? So there's a relationship between fact, faith, and experience. God's intention is to give us wonderful experiences of the unsearchable riches of Christ, but we cannot have those experiences without faith. And really, we cannot have faith unless we have the objective fact. So the more of the objective facts that you know, this paves the way for you to be able to have a deeper and richer experience. Amen. So one of my burdens today is that each one of us, that the Lord would give us an increased hunger and appetite for the Word of God. Amen. And that we would be those who study the Word. We would let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Amen. We would spend time, right, to get into the Word, to get the Word into us. Because as our brother was sharing with us, the Lord has established a covenant. And through his death on the cross, he has a will, and all the promises that are bequests to us are contained within the Bible. So if we don't know what's in the will, if we don't know that we're trillionaires, we'll never write any checks, and so we'll never have any experience, right? So we really need to know the Word of God. Amen. You know, there is a verse that the Lord touched me with as I was preparing for this message, and it's Hosea 4:6. And there the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." So, you know, so many believers, and I don't say this with a judgmental spirit, I just say this, you know, actually mourning and in sadness. And, you know, I oftentimes, too, fall into this category. Unfortunately, so many believers so often are living as if they are destitute and in poverty. When in reality, the God of the universe lives in your spirit. Amen. And through your baptism, you have been placed into him. Now he and you are mingled together as one spirit. And all the unsearchable riches of Christ, who he is, what he's done, are our inheritance, and they could be our experience. So may we not be those who perish or languish due to lack of knowledge. But may we give ourselves to pursue the Lord, to get into the Word, get the Word into us, so we can write more checks. Amen. And dear saints, this is not only for our benefit. Of course, we receive the benefit, no doubt. But it is also for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Yes. He needs believers who experience him, enjoy him, know him, and have all the objective truths in the Bible become their subjective experience. You know, Paul, when you read his epistles, he wrote a lot about his subjective experience. For example, in Philippians 1:21, he said, "For me to live is Christ." Amen. So for Paul to live was actually just for Christ to live. Amen. That's not doctrinal. That's not just objective teaching or knowledge. That was Paul's subjective experience. For to him to live was Christ, right? And the Lord is bringing us all to the point where we could say, in reality, in truthfulness, along with Paul, for Daryl to live is Christ. Amen. Right? You'll be so saturated and permeated with Christ, you'll be a living letter of Christ when you're at the grocery store picking up your loaf of bread and people see you, they will see Christ living again. Even if they don't have the words for it. Right. You'll have a certain kind of aroma, a certain fragrance. Right. Right? Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4, that we manifest the savor of the knowledge of Christ in every place. To some, it's a savor of life unto life. To others, it's a savor of death unto death. So some people like the smell of Christ, in other words. Other people don't like the smell of Christ. But the Lord wants to deepen our experience. And may he do this in each one of us. C says, it's the bridge between fact and experience. Faith is the bridge between fact and experience. I think I've spoken enough on this already. Now we'll go to Roman numeral 2, which is where it comes from. So we'll see where faith comes from. Let's have everyone read A together. Looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So faith is not something you just try to have. It's not something you just try to muster up. Oh, I just got to believe. I just got to try harder to believe, right? This verse tells us that Jesus is the author of our faith. That word author could also be translated as originator or source or inaugurator. So our Lord Jesus is the source of our faith. He's the originator of our faith. He's the inaugurator of our faith. He is the author of our faith. Fallen man has no believing ability in himself because we've been so damaged by the fall. But the Lord Jesus can generate faith within someone. He's the author of our faith. As wonderful as that is, we also need to experience him as the perfecter of our faith. Because as we'll see in a minute here, all the believers have different measures of faith. It's quite interesting. And so we need the Lord to perfect our faith, right? Surely no one among us can say, I have been completely perfected in my faith. No one can say this, right? We need the Lord as the perfecter of our faith. So he's faith's author. He is faith's perfecter. Let's read B together. God has apportioned to each of us measure of faith. So this is quite interesting. Again, showing that God is the source of our faith. God has apportioned to us a measure of faith. He's given us a measure of faith. So faith comes from God himself. It comes from the Lord Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. And here's a really precious verse under point one. Let's read that together. Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have been allotted faith, equally precious as ours, in the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Dear saints, you have been allotted faith that is equally as precious as Paul's faith. You have been allotted faith that is as equally as precious as Peter's faith. You've been allotted faith that's as equally as precious as John's faith. Peter tells us here that all the believers have been allotted faith that is equally precious. So the faith that we have is very, very precious. It's equally precious as the faith of the apostles. We know that it's not equal in measure. Right, surely someone like Paul or Peter or John had a greater measure of faith than myself, for example. So it's not equal in measure, but it's equal in preciousness and nature. This is very touching. We have very precious faith. And you know, the reason why it's so precious is because there's a verse in Hebrews that says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because those that come forward to him must believe that he exists, that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So it's by our faith that we can live a life that is well-pleasing to the Lord. I mean, don't you have this aspiration that you want to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, a life that is well-pleasing to the Lord? May the Lord really cause us to love him more, because when you love someone, you just want them to be happy. You just want them to be happy. You just want them to be pleased, to satisfied. May the Lord engender within each one of us a real aspiration and desire that, Lord, just please infuse me with faith, be my believing ability so that I could live a life that is well-pleasing to you, because I love you and I want you to be satisfied. So we have equally precious faith. So faith comes from Jesus, who's the author of our faith. Faith comes from God, who allots us a portion of faith. Where else does faith come from? Let's read C together. Faith comes out of hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. So we can have something the Bible calls the hearing of faith. When you hear the word, faith can be spontaneously generated within your being. And we can have the hearing of faith, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. So the more you are under the speaking of the word of God, the greater will be your measure of faith. So if you desire to have more faith, if you want the Lord to increase your apportioned measure of faith, then you need to be as much as possible under the hearing of the word of Christ. Amen. Faith is generated in our being. So we should really endeavor to make all the meetings of the church that we can. Anytime the saints are gathering together, we should pay the price to be there, to be under the hearing of faith, so that our faith will increase, so we can write more checks, have richer experiences of our unsearchably rich Christ. Amen. You know, you never know what you will miss if you miss a meeting of the church. Yeah, you probably all have heard of Doubting Thomas, right? The Lord, after he was crucified, he resurrected, and he appeared to the disciples in resurrection, in the flesh, in his glorified body. And Thomas wasn't there. And so all the disciples, they came to Thomas, and they said, Thomas, you'll never believe what happened. The Lord Jesus appeared to us in resurrection in the upper room. And he said, unless I can put my hands into his side and into the wounds in his hands, I will by no means believe. That's why they call him Doubting Thomas, right? And so Thomas missed out on the Lord appearing in resurrection in his glorified body. So you never know what you could miss. If you miss a gathering of the saints, you never know what the Lord can do or speak in that meeting, you know. But thankfully, the Lord was very merciful. And the next time they got together, Thomas was there. The Lord again appeared to them. And he said, Thomas, here I am. Put your hand into my side. Put your hand into my hands. So he had mercy on Thomas, and then Thomas fell to his knees, and he said, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. So never miss the meetings of the church. Never miss the gathering of the saints. And then in those meetings, you are under the speaking of the word of God, and your faith will increase. You'll have the faith that comes out of hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Lord Jesus. Where else does faith come from? It comes from our asking. Let's read this verse together. And Jesus said to him, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, crying out, the father of the child said, I believe. Help my unbelief. So, you know, the Lord, we could just be real with him. We could be genuine with him. He is the knower of the hearts of men. Amen. You can't pretend with the Lord. At least you shouldn't try, because he knows your inner condition and situation anyway. There's no need to pretend. So we can be real with him and simply ask him, right? In simplicity, Lord, increase my faith. Ask him, right? There's another verse that says, you have not because you ask not. So we should test the Lord. Lord, increase my faith. The context of this verse is that this father of the child was sick, and the Lord said, you know, all things are possible. When the Lord says all things are possible to him who believes, I think he means all things are possible to him who believes. But this person's faith was a little bit short. And listen, saints, we're all in the same boat. We're all the same, right? We all find ourselves in this situation and condition being short of faith at one point or another, right? All of us do. But this person said, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, he said, I have a little faith. I believe a little bit, but I need to believe more. I need to have more faith. So just ask the Lord, Lord, give me more faith. I believe a little bit, but help my unbelief. All right. So we can ask him. Okay, and lastly, it comes from our pursuit. Read verse 1 together. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and meekness. And let's read number 2 together. But flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord. You know, these two verses really touched me in my preparation for this message. I was never before preparing for this time impressed with the fact that we need to pursue faith. Have you ever considered that before? You need to pursue faith. It's something you should run after as an aim, as a goal. Pursue faith. Paul says it twice, 1 Timothy 6:11, 2 Timothy 2:22. We pursue faith with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be among you saints, calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. We're pursuing the Lord together. Amen. Let's read number 3 together. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would richly bless and enlarge my border, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would so keep me from evil that it would not grieve me. And God caused this to come to pass. So earlier, it's quite sovereign, I think. Our brother alluded to Colossians, well, we read Colossians 1:12, where it says, God has qualified us for a share of the allotted portion of the saints and the light. All the believers have been given an allotted portion. This harkens back to the promise in the Old Testament when the Israelites were all allotted a share of the good land as their inheritance for their enjoyment. And Paul very specifically used the word, we've been allotted a share of the portion of the saints in the light. Surely, looking back to the type and the picture in the Old Testament, just as those Old Testament saints were given a share of the land for their inheritance, their enjoyment, so too all the believers have been given a share of this wonderful Christ for our inheritance, for our enjoyment. And one thing that Jabez prayed, and really this should be all our prayer, really, is that, oh, that you would enlarge my border. Enlarge my border. He wanted a greater piece of the good land. So what that means for us in topology is we should pray that the Lord enlarges our border, right? That we would have a greater, deeper, higher, broader, richer experience and enjoyment of Christ, who is the real good land. Lord Jesus, everyone that's here, enlarge our border. Amen. And then you know what? It says that God caused what he had requested to come to pass. So clearly the Lord was pleased with that prayer because he answered the prayer. Right. So may the Lord grant us richer experiences of Christ. Amen. Enlarge our border, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so quick summary of point 2, where faith comes from. It comes from the Lord as the author of our faith. God, who has apportioned to each a measure of faith, comes from our hearing through of the word of Christ, comes from our asking the Lord, comes from our pursuing faith and praying and asking. Okay, now the last point, what it does. What does faith do? Read A. It makes the word of God profitable to us. And we'll read 1 together. For indeed we have had the good news announced to us, even as they also, but the word heard did not profit them, not being mixed together with faith in those who heard. So this is a key, that the word Faith makes the word profitable to us. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites were about to go into the good land to receive it for their inheritance, they were instructed by Jehovah through Moses to send out 12 spies to spy out the land. They came back. 10 spies gave an evil, negative report and said, oh man, there's giants in the land, fortified cities. There's no way we're going to be able to take this land. But Caleb and Joshua, two of the other spies, says that they had a different spirit. And they said, let us go up at once and take it, for we are well able to. Amen. Because they had a spirit of faith. Because God had been telling them for years and years and years, you're going up to this land. I'm going to give you this land. This land is your land. It's your inheritance. It's flowing with milk and honey. I will give it to you and to your seed after you. Many, many times the Lord promised the Israelites that they would receive and inherit the land. But some of them had an evil heart of unbelief. And so the result was the Lord was displeased with them. And the punishment was they had to, instead of going up to inherit the land as God had promised, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that entire generation of Israelites perished for languishing in the wilderness, except for Caleb and Joshua. And the new generation of Israelites were then allowed to go into the good land. So their unbelief in God's word caused them to miss out on their inheritance, you know, what God had promised. God had promised something, and that was the objective fact. But they didn't mix together the word with faith, so they lost out on the experience. So Paul gives us a warning here that we have had the good news announced to us also. Every meeting that you're in, you're hearing the gospel. You're hearing good news. You're hearing the objective truths for your subjective experience. But it is possible that we can hear the word of God and it not profit us, just like the Israelites in the Old Testament. We never want to be in that situation. We never want to be in that condition. So we need to mix together the word with our faith by saying amen to the word of God.
Amen.
And by pray reading the word, you know, there is, it's the very next verse, actually, that we have a spirit of faith. Faith is a function of your spirit. It's not a thought in your mind. It's not a feeling in your emotion. It's the conviction of things that you don't see. It's a function of your spirit. We have a spirit of faith. So a way, practically, to mix together the word with our faith so that it would profit us is to pray, read the word of God. As you are reading all the objective truths in the Bible, all the promises that have been granted to you, pray them back to the Lord. Lord, make this my reality. Lord, make this my experience. Lord, thank you, I've been redeemed. Thank you, I've been reconciled. Be richer in my experience. Cause me to love you more. You know, when God told David, the king, through the prophet Samuel, that David would have a son, and that his son would build the house of God. This was a promise that the Lord made. And again, the Bible is full of promises, right? David didn't just say, oh, very good. Very good. That's good. I'm going to have a son. He's going to build the house of God. Rather, it says that he sat down and he prayed to the Lord, Lord, cause what you have promised to come to pass.
Amen.
So he prayed for the completion of God's word. He did not merely or simply agree with it. He prayed, Lord, do what you have spoken.
Amen.
Do what you have spoken. So this is an example of how we can mix the word of God with our faith that it would be a profit to us.
Amen.
So we have a spirit of faith. Okay, B, let's read B. It keeps us on the course of our Christian journey. And one together? Holding faith and a good conscience, concerning which some, thrusting these away, have become shipwrecked regarding
the faith.
So the Christian life, you know, is a journey. We're all on this journey. It is likened to us on a stormy sea in this boat. And we have a destination. We have a goal. We have something we're sailing to, and that is God himself. He's our destination. He's our goal. He's our inheritance. We will be absolutely saturated and permeated with him, absolutely one with him. But we don't, while we are on this journey, which the Lord has ordained for each one of us, we don't want to be shipwrecked regarding the faith, right? We don't want to be shipwrecked, which means you're making no progress. Some people became shipwrecked by thrusting away faith and a good conscience. You know, some people, you share the gospel with them, but they just thrust it away. They thrust it away. No, absolutely not. I reject it. It's like you can thrust away faith. You know, we don't want to be like that. I won't. I'll just, amen, Lord. I'll skip over that. Okay, let's go on to C. It indicates the Lord's return is near. Let's read this together. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Okay, this is the last point. What does faith do? It makes the Word of God profitable to us. It keeps us on the course of our Christian journey. Don't ever thrust it away. And it also indicates the Lord's return is near. The Lord spoke these words in Luke 18. You know, the Lord said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This indicates that at the time of the Lord's return, the general situation among people on the earth will be a declining of faith. And I just read a study recently that a particular person was rejoicing over about the secularization of this country in particular, and the vast difference between 1950 and 2020, the number of people who say the Bible is the Word of God, the number of people who identify as Christians, the number of people who state that they believe in God, it has all been declining. Those numbers have all been decreasing. So this particular person was very happy about that. Well, you know what this indicates to me, as sad as that is, on the one hand. On the other hand, I rejoice greatly because it indicates that the Lord's return is very near. Amen. We find ourselves in a situation where the faith within the general population is slowly decreasing gradually. So may we be on the opposite trajectory, looking forward to the Lord's return, which I do believe, but only the Lord knows, right? No one knows the day, the time, the hour, the Father, the Son. I truly believe the Lord will return in my lifetime. Amen. So may the Lord come back, find us loving him, pursuing him, opening to him, and may he increase our faith so we can live a life that is well-pleasing to him, have greater experiences of him, conform to his image so he can have his expression on the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Now it's time for you to share. Sorry I went a little bit long. I apologize. But we can have a little bit of time for overflow and just share what touched you. Amen. So you can give us the hearing of faith.
Amen.
You can speak faith into our being, cause the measure of faith within us to increase.
Amen.